Radharajan of Balapur and the five chapters of the text, number 8. Hina Shakeshwara, I heard that yesterday the broadcast was not online or something you see.
Yeah, we have problem with the connection, the internet.
Problem with the internet connection?
Yeah.
We are all seeing the different transformations of the earth. Different bodies and capacities are simply transformations of the earth that exist in name only. For every growth of the earth, and everything is annihilated, it's a human being of the earth. In other words, we are not fast, and we shall be not fast. Everyone can answer this. So now we are going to finish the energy. The important philosophical understanding to see things in their right perspective. When you learn something, when you learn a sutra, like I said, that anandikram, aramdhanam, pranavatya, this cosmic manifestation is a mixture of natural spirit, the thought of the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Prasad, the Guru Brahman. Therefore, it's here Bhagavatam, first temple, fifth chapter, text 20, it is said, let me show you Bhagavan, Guru Brahman. Cosmic manifestation is that the transfer of the energy is between the Sanskrit and God. But because of the losing, no one can appreciate that God is not different from the material world. Actually, he is not different, but this material world is simply a transformation of his different energies. There are such effects to the nature of the there are also other versions of this material. I love the color because matter and spirit are all non-different in the Supreme Brahman. Lord Sri Krishna confirms his statement in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 4. May Vinda Bhakti Rasada, the human energy is present on it, but it is separated from it. And the material energy is made from the Supreme Spirit. So called material energy and words of transmitted spiritual energy. Just as the final body becomes fire when it comes into contact with fire. When we can understand why the analytical study of Supreme Personality of Godhead is the problem of our progress, our knowledge of the spirit. Simply understanding that transformation to different energy is partial knowledge. We must come to the ultimate cause. Knowledge of both are not interested in knowing the literal cause of all generations. It's never the there is nothing in the phenomenal world that is not produced by the supreme energy of the supreme personality of God. Aromas from the earth are different scents and acts and used for different purposes. The original cause of earth and the earth. The water drops from the earth can be used to get the water for some time, about 3 to 4 months of earth. Therefore, there is no difference between the pot and the spirit of the universe. It is simply a different transformation of energy. Originally, the cause of primary ingredient is Supreme Personality of God, and the varieties are only by the God. In the Chandrakya Upanishad, it is stated, Yatha Sambhava became a middle premium. If one studies the earth, he naturally understands the five parts of the earth. The day is therefore If one simply understands the original cause of Krishna, the cause of all causes, then naturally everything else is understood. Although it may be presented in the by understanding the original cause of
Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare. Prabhupada said the same thing in about 17 different varieties. Just to hammer it into our consciousness. I have a request, and I usually make this request from time to time. Please try to make it to Bhagavatam class on time, instead of coming, sort of trickling in one after the other. It's nice to come on time. So, first of all, Jada Bharat is saying the principle that he's teaching, Rahugana, is an important principle for us to understand. This is called unity in diversity. And when we understand unity in diversity, it will stop bothering us as to why things are happening the way they are happening. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that the world is already perfect. Everything is perfect. The only thing that needs an adjustment is our vision of it. Everything that's happening out there is just perfect. Everything's working according to Krishna's plan. The only problem is we don't have the right vision to see things with. And when we have the right vision, we see that it's perfect. Every living entity is living out his or her karma. Every living entity has a particular body because of their karma. The natural laws are operating. Everything is working exactly according to plan. Except our vision is not correct. That means, to see perfection, the adjustment is internal. It's not the going out and adjusting the world. And the principle on which everything operates, among other things, is unity in diversity. There is diversity, and we appreciate diversity, we want diversity. In fact, corporations spend a lot of money and marketing dollars just to talk about diversity, but they don't know what they're talking about. For them, diversity means, simply put it bluntly, they just want the corporations to be not all white. So that's their sense of diversity. But anyway, the idea is there is diversity across species, across capacities, across race, religion, caste, whatever. Yet there is a unity. The unity is everything comes from one source. And as Vaishnavas, in fact our whole philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is built on this unity and diversity principle. The more we can start seeing unity in everything, while appreciating the diversity simultaneously, we come closer to the source, that is Sri Krishna. Ultimately, he is the source of everything. His Prabhupada uses the word phenomenal world. That means the material world. There is variety in the spiritual world. There is variety in the material world. And everything sourced from Krishna. So to understand this purport, if we can appreciate the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives a context to it. Prabhupada has quoted different Vedic references, but they're all talking about the same thing. Our reference primarily is the Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami, in one of his sandarbhas, he spends a lot of time glorifying the Upanishads, because Upanishads are perfect in their philosophical understanding. Perfect. And then he describes how Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature. And so he says, from now on, I'm only going to refer from the Bhagavatam because it already includes all the Upanishadic conclusions. Bhakti Purushottam Swami, when he had come in 2001, he gave a very nice analogy which has helped me, so I'd like to share. The third verse of the Bhagavatam says that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature, all Vedic knowledge. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. Nigama means the Vedas. Kalpataror means the desire trees of the Vedas. Galitam means ripened, phalam, fruit. Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said, let's take a mango tree. Okay, a mango tree is standing on ground and it gives many products. Nice wood, the branches, mango leaves that are used for Vedic ceremonies. Very auspicious. When you hang mango leaves or do something with mango leaves, it's considered very auspicious. It gives a little small tiny flowers, the early shoots. And it is said that the mango leaf, when it first manifests, it is purple in color. It's very, very raw, very delicate. That mango leaf is eaten, that delicate mango leaf is eaten by the cuckoo bird, which is what gives the cuckoo bird the sweet sound. Until then, till spring, the cuckoo bird sounds like a crow. Only when spring comes, coo, from the mango leaf. And then it gives raw mangoes, which the South Indians love. But the real fruit is the ripe yellow golden mango. It is full of juice. Now, interestingly, the roots, they take water, right? It's the same water that spread throughout the trunk, the branches, the twigs, the leaves, and the fruit. But you can't take anything from the tree and bite it and say, I'm finding it sweet. It's only the mango that is sweet. It's the same water. But what is it about the fruit? Somehow something happens to the fruit that it becomes all delicious. But the rest of the tree is bitter. Try to eat a mango twig, it's very bitter. It's the same water that the roots have taken from the ground, but the mango is the sweetest. So he described that the Vedas, they have the same essence that they talk about Krishna. But you can't take any Upanishad and come to the conclusion that Krishna is the sweet personality of Godhead. You have to wait for the mango. So the essence of all Vedic sweetness is packed in the mango, the ripe mango, which is Bhagavatam. So if you study Bhagavatam or taste the Bhagavatam, you come to the sweetest conclusion of the Vedas. So the Vedas describe, the Bhagavatam, the very first verse, Prabhupada refers to it here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Vasudeva, Prabhupada describes, literally means the omniscient and the omnipresent. That's what it means. And Prabhupada says, anybody can have the name Vasudev. But the reason he's given Vasudeva name, because it refers to Krishna as the son of Vasudeva, who is the omniscient, omnipresent personality. And then he says, Janmadhyasayataha, that the Vasudeva Krishna is he from whom everything emanates. Janma Adi. In Sanskrit, whenever you put Adi, it means etc. So Janma Adi means birth, etc. Birth, maintenance, and annihilation. This verse refers to it. Janma Adi Yasya Yataha. From whom birth, maintenance, and annihilation all emanate. And who is the source? Anvayad itaratashcharteshu abhigya. He is directly and indirectly itarata. Abhigya. He is conscious. He is completely conscious of everything that is happening in any fragment of creation. So we said how we are conscious, that we can have a pinprick in any little tiny part of our body and we are aware of it. Correct? Some people are not aware, but most people are aware. And then indirectly we are aware through our energies. If you are living in a household, quite obvious that what's happening in the household, we might be aware of it. Not everything, but directly or indirectly, we get some idea of it. Like I have a security system in my house. And if someone opens the door, the alarm rings. I might be sitting here, but if the alarm rings there, I'm indirectly aware that something's going on there, because my phone will ring and etc. like that. But that's crude, because we're very limited. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead has His energies present in every aspect of creation. So He is indirectly or directly aware of everything. Yet, He is called Swarat, supremely independent. We are not independent. We live in a free country, but we are not independent. We have very limited independence. We are independent within the framework of the law of the land. We have to pay taxes. I cannot decide. I'm a spirit soul. No taxes for me. Then the spirit soul has to be in jail. So we are bound by the laws of state. We're also bound by the laws of material energy. I decided from today, I shall not become old. Doesn't work. So we're bound. We're not independent. We're not supremely independent. Krishna is. There is nothing that Krishna is bound by. We can't say, I decided I will not take birth. Have to take birth. Forced to take birth by karmic laws. Forced to die. Swarat. Supremely independent. And then it says, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Adi Kavi is Lord Brahma. And he he is the personality who brings forth Vedic knowledge into this universe through Lord Brahma. Because Brahma is the first personality within creation, within this universe. Only after Brahma is born that all of us have species and bodies and karmic activities and a place for residence, etc. Tene Brahma Hridaya. Brahma means spiritual knowledge. Hridaya, in the heart of Brahma, Adi Kavaye. And then it says, Mukhyanti Yat Surayaha. Yet, even the greatest of demigods are bewildered about his identity. Which means that the emanation does not have the capacity to understand the source. It's a very important point. The emanation does not have the capacity to understand its source. How to know the source? When the source reveals himself. So, tene mukhyanti yat suraya. Even the greatest of thinkers can be bewildered about Krishna's identity. Because they don't have access. Mukhyanti yat suraya. And how are they bewildered? Tejo vari mridam yathavini mayaha. Teja means fire, vari means water, and mridam, land. Just as water seen on land or water seen on fire. Land seen on water, water seen on fire. It's called mirage. Out in the desert or on a hot summer day, when you look far, the water vapor makes it seem as if there is water there. And the desert is called a mirage. And all these animals, they pursue mirage and they die because there isn't any water. Or if you're lost at sea, far away you can see land. Oh, there is land. There isn't any land. Vinimaya means transformations. So the material energy transforms itself in such a way that it appears that there is something existing when there isn't anything. So one of the transformations of material energy is to tell us there is happiness in this material world when there isn't. And it is that creates the bewilderment for the living entity. He pursues it. Tejo Vari Mridam. Oh, there is happiness. Look, that person is happy. I should also pursue it. They run after it. Nothing, they don't get anything. It's called mob mentality. Person was standing and everyone was running in that direction. So he's also started running. Because everyone was running. So he asked the person, where are you running? So I don't know. The others are running, so I'm running too. Where are you heading? I don't know. Everyone's going, I'm also going. I don't know where they are. If everyone is going, surely they must be heading in the right direction. So I'm also going. So this is called Tejo Vari Mridam. And there's, each of these lines can be explained for about 45 minutes. Bhakti Siddhanta, he spoke on this verse every day for 3 hours, for a whole month, without repeating one single point again. So that's how packed this verse is. So this energies of Krishna, they transform to create certain sense of realities that don't exist. One of the things that transforms is for us to feel that I am this body. And we are convinced, because even in our sleep, our nervous system is developed so nicely that even in our sleep, if someone will scratch us, then we will respond to it. Because that identification with the body is so intense. If far away somebody says something to the land of our birth, oh, this country sucks, whatever, we get so riled up. How can this happen? It's there because that false ego identification is there. If someone says something about women, oh, women are, all the women get so wired up. Or men are not like that. Or then you say something about a race, all races like that. And oh boy, it's all false ego identification. We're not any of that, but we get so disturbed by it. This is that Tejo Vari Mridam, Vinimaya, transformation. And he says, Trisarga, what is that transformational capacity? The modes of nature. The modes of nature make everything look so variegated. And in all of this, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhakam. Krishna, whose energies transform all of this, and he's present in every corner, every little atom of material creation and in the spiritual realm, still he resides in his own residence, Dhamna Svena, Sada, always. Nirasta Kuhakam, Satyam Param Dhimahi. That personality of Godhead, who has his own identity in the spiritual world as Lord Shri Krishna, yet he is present in every atom, in every little piece of the material world and spiritual world, and whose energies transform everything to that personality of Godhead. I offer my obeisances. This is knowledge about the source. So Prabhupada describes in the purport, I'm going to go backward, that in all circumstances, if we can understand the source of Krishna being the cause of all causes, then there is no lamentation. When we don't see the hand of Krishna, when we don't see everything converging into Krishna, then you see so much divergence, you see so much variety and get disturbed by that variety. Or we try to enjoy and exploit that variety. But everything is coming from Krishna. He is the source of everything. And this knowledge cannot be understood or ascertained without the help of a guru or a self-realized person. So what we are studying so easily, you know, this, we take it for granted. Now, Krishna is the source of everything. The great sages, even the great demigods, they're bewildered by it. Even Lord Brahma, got bewildered by it. So who, what to speak about us? Our bewilderment is that we have theoretical understanding of this. Oh, Krishna is the source of everything. On a day-to-day basis, this is where the test is. On the day-to-day basis, on a day-to-day basis, we are bewildered by the transformations of energy. Be it the French fries or pizza or beautiful persons or difficult circumstance or hot weather or cold or body pain or excessive sleep, like I got knocked out, or something. These are all transformations and we get totally frazzled by those transformations. And we get disturbed. We become happy or morose or indifferent as response to those manifestations of variety. But they're all Krishna's energy. So a person who learns to see Krishna behind everything, such person's mind is not disturbed. That's the practice. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam is the cause of all causes. When we can see Krishna, or when we learn to see Krishna behind everything, then the disturbance is not so much. The attraction or aversion to material energy is not there anymore. So, what's the test? Are we understanding the source? Is the test is how much we get disturbed, either on the positive side or the negative side, by the transformations of this energy. It's nothing but mirages. All perceptions of things. And the perceptions arise, the variegatedness comes because everything is a transformation of the earth energy. Excuse me. In this case, he's talking about the earth, that there are so many varieties of bodies. Female bodies, male bodies, white, black, brown, yellow, red, whatever. In this species, in that species, 8,400,000 varieties of transformations of earth. And within each species, there is so much variety. Right? No two deer look the same. No two human beings look the same. No two cockroaches look the same. Although there is similarity. And all of this is transformation of the earth. It's the earth that makes the wood, that makes metal, that makes our flesh, everything. And everything is sustained by the earth. Everything in this material creation is sustained by the earth. Even the birds which fly in the sky have to perch on a tree, which is being sustained by the tree, by the earth. The tree is being sustained. The oceans are being sustained by the earth, right? If there's no bottom, they can't have oceans. The reptiles, the human beings, the birds, the insects, the worms, everyone is being sustained by Mother Earth. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that when Krishna advented, he could have advented in the heavenly realms. But there was a special plea made by Mother Earth. She went as a cow to invite Krishna, please come, I'm suffering. And he came to Mother Earth. He manifested on earth instead of the heavenly realms, so that he could give his association to all the earthly living beings. So the earth sustains all of us. The food we get, you know, nowadays we're experts at making chips. They're called semiconductor chips. But they cannot sustain our life, right? You can make many chips. But those chips, we need potato chips. We have to come from ground. Earth gives us food, minerals, the houses we live on, the clothes that we put on. Everything is coming from earth. But it's a transformation. Somewhere it shows up as cotton, somewhere it shows up as rayon or nylon. Clothes are made of nylon nowadays. which is also coming from the earth as oil. But they're just transformations. The varieties of fruits. It's very interesting. You have a lemon tree on this side and you grow a banana tree on this side. You get completely different fruits. And it's not an accident that suddenly, you know, banana will grow out of the lemon tree. No. You get limes and lemons here, you get bananas here. And they pour the same water to the roots. Totally different. But it's a transformation of earth. So Jadabharat, excuse me. Jadabharat is taking us to see behind the veneer. Because when you see behind the veneer, it's a little easier. And it's taking us to see the source of everything. For example, let's say one person comes to us and he appreciates us. Prabhu, you are so amazing. Another person comes to you and says, you stink, Prabhu. Or whatever, you're in Maya, Prabhu. We're trained to go beyond that to see this is this mode of nature, that's mode of nature. It's the modes of nature. It's the material energy. It's not like someone appreciated me and I'm supposed to fly, you know, be on the seventh heaven and someone said you stink and I have to be somewhere in Patala. It's the modes of nature. People walk out for no reason, they yell at each other. Rawr, rawr. Or they stand up and appreciate someone in a political forum, whatever. It's the modes of nature. It's the modes of nature. That's it. So we are trained to go beyond to see that it's just, you know, modes of nature. For example, you have a very beautiful woman, Miss Universe, whoever. And not so beautiful, very ugly person. And we fall for the variety. Very good looking. You peel the skin away. What do you see? Beautiful flesh? Not so beautiful. It's the same ugly flesh. Same stool, same urine. It's just sad. Just the packaging is just... What's the packaging? Tejovari Mridam. It's the bewildering potency that makes this look so attractive and this like... It's just skin deep. We remove the skin and it's all the same. You remove the flesh, it's all the same. You can't say, this skeleton is very attractive and that skeleton is really not that attractive. Have you ever seen skeleton? Like behind our face, if you remove the skin, you know, the way our skull looks, whoa, it's really ugly. Sockets here, bones like this, a jaw and some teeth. But nicely packaged. That's the Tejovari Mridam, the bewildering potency, right on top. Whoa, look at that. What a beautiful face. As beautiful as the moon. People write poetry about it. So Jadabharat is removing the Rahugana's blindness that you're looking at the externalities of things. Go beyond. See the real guts of things. The gut is... It's the transformation of earth. And when you see that, then you give up what is called aversion or attraction. So we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita in our Bhakti Vriksha, chapter 2, that section of verses 55 onwards, where Krishna is responding to Arjuna's question of who is a sthita pragya, a person whose consciousness is fixed. And these are the verses. Dukkheshu anudvigna mana. When there is some source of misery, the mind is not disturbed. Sukkheshu vigatasprha. Even if some happy thing comes, untouched by it. Vitaraga bhaya krodha. One person who's freed from attachment, fear, and anger. Because these are responses to these things. Sthita pragya sa uchate. So the person is called fixed in consciousness. That means the person can see beyond the externalities to the gut, the real, this is just transformations. Transformations of the modes of nature. So he's chastising Maharaj Rahugana that you think you're learned and you're making a distinction. I am the king, you're the palanquin carriers. But Prabhu, the land I'm standing on, the body that is carrying the palanquin itself and your body, they're all earth, just looking different. So why are you making such a distinction? So we respect variety because we don't say variety doesn't exist. We respect variety, we acknowledge variety, we utilize variety. But we understand that it's all sourced from Krishna. That's the main thing. It's all coming from Krishna. And Krishna is the source. And because Krishna is the source, everything naturally has a utility in Krishna's service. Does onion and garlic have utility in Krishna's service? The answer is no. In direct service to Krishna, no, but it has utility. For persons in the mode of ignorance, they need food. For the persons in mode of passion, if you give them food in goodness, they don't feel energized. Then how will they perform their activities? So you have things in the material world that is suited for everyone. But you can't use it in direct service to Krishna. Because Krishna is in the mode of, or is in pure goodness. So you can only bring things in goodness to Krishna. But everything has its utility. Imagine, you give a person in mode of ignorance food in the mode of goodness. How would he feel? Miserable, huh? Where's the meat? What are you feeding me? What is this? You think I'm a cow? I'm supposed to eat grass? Where's the real stuff? If you don't understand how they would feel, see it the other way. You bring food in the mode of ignorance to a person in the mode of goodness. You feed them. How do they feel? Miserable. What is this? Putrid, frozen, cooked, microwave food. I mean, that's just near passion and goodness. But ignorant food is much worse. Like meat raw. Like that. So there is, everything is in the world, it has utility. Every little tissue in our body is useful, unlike the modern medicine. Oh, you don't need that organ. Cut it off. When Neanderthal became Homo sapien, that was the extra that stayed behind. Cut it off, take it off. They will literally take out every organ that they feel is not necessary. Oh, this is defective? Large intestine defective? Take it off. Heart defective? Take it off. Anyway, heartless society? Take it off. Brain is not working? Take it off. Uterus? Take it off. What else? Gallbladder? Remove it. Everything is removed. Empty shell. And they have machines to replicate or to replace things. Does this make any sense? Okay. Questions? Comments? Parama Karuna Bahu Dui Jana.
Of everything. We do have theoretical understanding about this concept. But is there any specific scale to measure this concept in our day-to-day?
Yeah, sure. Right after that I explain. The scale of measurement is how much are we bewildered by the transformations of his energy.
It's usual, every day. Anything else?
Every day. Someone said something, someone did say something. Today I'm feeling, it's too hot, it's too cold. I was insulted, I was honored. These are all transformations. This is all happening by Krishna's energy. Who is controlling that energy? mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Everything is manifestation of Krishna's energy. And Prabhupada writes, it's not sufficient to just understand the transformations of energy. It's not sufficient. You have to go to see the source. You want me to read? Simply understanding the transformations of different energies is partial knowledge. We must come to the ultimate cause. The knowledge of those who are not interested in knowing the original cause of all emanations is never perfect knowledge. So to know that Krishna, it is because of Krishna's supervision, things are, or sanction, things are manifesting in this world. So there's nothing to be disturbed. I mean, it's nice to say, hard to follow, but that's what it is. You want something more practical, like ground level, pedestrian level? No, we should think because we have to utilize. Our process is not that we stop thinking. That is not our process. Our process is that we're very manishi, thoughtful. And thoughtful means we see things on the basis of scripture. When we see variety, oh, good man, bad man, white man, black man, blue, it's there. And why is it there? Because these are transformations of Krishna's energy, and Krishna is transforming these energies to keep the world going. My dear Krishna, what a wonderful personality you are. It's to bring an appreciation of how Krishna is manifesting all these energies around us and giving us a variety. You appreciate wildlife, like, wow. Where Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, is it okay to appreciate beautiful sunset? Is it okay to appreciate a beautiful flower? Prabhupada said, sure, why not? But that appreciation is not for the energy. Our appreciation is how wonderfully Krishna is transforming his energy for all these beautiful things. One time they saw a sunset and he said, Prabhupada, it looks like such a beautiful painting. And Prabhupada said, if the painting is beautiful, how beautiful the painter must be. Seeing the source, not just the transformation or the emanation. So somebody is very good looking. Let's say someone you meet is very beautiful. We tend to appreciate the beautiful person. Wow, such a beautiful person. Prabhupada's teaching us to go beyond that. That Krishna's beauty has manifested in this way. Someone sings very well. Krishna's capacity has manifested in this way. Someone writes very well. Someone speaks very well. Someone cooks very well. Someone dances very well. Someone is very artistic in the way they do some service. They dress very well. It's all Krishna's. Krishna is bestowing his potency upon this person. Someone fights very well. Someone is very angry. It's all Krishna's manifestation. Where is it coming from? Where is chivalry coming from? Where is anger coming from? It's all coming from Krishna. Can anyone be more angry than Narasimhadev? So he's the source of all of it. So that's in the 10th chapter when Krishna says, what's that verse? Everything comes from me. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That's the verse. Everything is coming from me. And one who understands this, buddha, knowledgeable person, bhajate, he serves me, bhava samanvita. And our acharyas describe bhava samanvita has two meanings. One, he serves me in ecstasy, bhava. And bhava samanvita also means that he completely serves me with full knowledge. Because he understands I am the source of everything. So now on a practical level, this person may have a gift. I may not have that gift. But there's no reason for me to become envious. Oh, you know, because Krishna is giving him. Krishna didn't give me, Krishna gave me something else. You understand? Then there is no tension. Oh, why is he like that? Why? What is he doing that he's always getting? Krishna is giving. Krishna is giving me, Krishna is giving him, Krishna is giving her. Okay? Jitendra Prabhu and then Acharya Nishtha. Sorry.
I like, there was a Back to Godhead magazine, and on the back of it, it had a picture of an orange, and it was an advertisement for the Sunday feast, and that orange was partially peeled, and then it said, perfectly packaged by Krishna. And it was kind of, you know, people like that. And
yeah, you cannot make any fruit in your lab.
And then Prabhupada uses the expression, an empty show. So without understanding what's behind it, it's like an empty show.
Prabhupada once challenged the scientists, try to make a mosquito in your lab so tiny that it can fly in any direction at will, like that. And it should replicate itself. On its own, it should have intercourse with another female mosquito and make another mosquito. Can you make another female mosquito and make another mosquito? Can you make one? Impossible. Yeah. Go ahead, Acharya Nishtha.
On a similar note, I was wondering if you could get into all of the negative things that we see. Also, we're talking how that we can see, like the 10th chapter, also the reflections or Krishna's opulences gives an indication of his personality.
Yeah.
Also, all the extreme horrors that we see. How do we see those in relation?
Extreme?
Horrors.
Horrors. So Krishna says, fear, lamentation, all of that also come from me. He gives a whole list after that verse. Buddha Bhava Samanvita, and a whole list he gives. So what it means is that it's not that Krishna is envious and therefore it's coming. What it means is that his energies transform in such a way that is the modes of passion create the extremes. The mode of ignorance creates the vertical extreme, and mode of goodness creates the vertical other extreme. And in all of this variety, each living entity has experience of this phenomenal world. If we understand that the material world is created for the living entities to carry out their karma, someone needs to be incited by anger, someone needs to be energized by envy, someone by pride, someone by arrogance, someone by music, someone by art. Everybody has to have their mixture, you know. Like we get, when we are born, we get a packet that says, here is the percentage of goodness, passion and ignorance in your life. And this will manifest in this way. You have blue eyes, but really clumsy teeth. Or you have nice hair, like thick hair, but it's all going to become gray very soon. Or you won't have any hair on your head. You'll bald very quickly. Or your teeth will fall off. Or you'll age very quickly. You have intelligence, but you'll be born in a poor family where that it won't have full capacity. Or you'll be born in a rich family with absolutely no intelligence. Or you're in a rich family with a lot of intelligence. Whatever is the variety, it's so diverse. But every person gets exactly their karma. Some people are always angry for no reason. Have you met any person like that? I've met. Just angry for no reason. And some people, they're always crying for no reason. But that's their karma. Some people have a skin disease, some people have some organ disease, some people have this, some people have no disease. My father, whatever karma he is born with is amazing. He's 80 years old, has no disease in his body. All organs functioning perfectly well. But something else, you know, karmically this, karmically that, karmically this. Someone else, by the time they're 20, they have diabetes, whatever. That's the way. But where is it all coming from? Krishna's energies, which are Krishna's supervising. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This whole world is moving under my supervision. And that is just the Paramatma feature. And Krishna tells Arjuna, why are you worried about all this? All this fantastic manifestation in the material world. All the greatness is but a tiny spark of my splendor. Insignificant. But that insignificant makes it becomes so big for us. Right? In the grand context of things, some insult really doesn't mean much, but we make such a big deal out of it. Why? Tejovari midam. We were caught in the bewilderment. Very easily caught in it. Yeah, final, and then we'll stop.
Sometimes when I'm explaining, I'm trying to be detached. That might come off as a little cold-hearted, or I'm cold, or I have no feelings. So how do we explain that to people who don't understand exactly what we're trying to imbibe?
Well, we can be cold-hearted. It's possible. Some people are detached because they're cold-hearted. Some people are seemingly detached because they don't want to deal with the complexities of relationships. But a real detachment is with love. When there is genuine love for another person, that detachment is genuine. It's lasting. So how do you explain to people? It's difficult because it's something that it is our view or our perception of the transformations of the material energy. Sometimes we may be cold-hearted. And so we can say, I'm very detached because I don't want to get hurt again. I've been hurt too many times. I don't want to be hurt again. Or someone will say, well, I don't care for this relationship anymore, so I'm cold-hearted about it. I'm detached about it. Or out of love for you and my understanding of Krishna consciousness, I respect who you are for what you are, but I don't have to project my attachment onto you. So I understand. I have no expectations. So it's for us to see where we are coming from first and explain it. And yes, the thing is, we may not have expectations of someone else, but someone else may have expectations of us. And therefore, their experience of the situation will be different from ours. But that's the nature of this world. No two persons see and experience the same things similar. Very different. And so we respect their position and we request them to respect our perception. The conflict or the difference comes because people cannot see the same way. And they won't, because the modes of nature affect each person differently. And in Kali Yuga, it is the most heightened. That is why it's the age of quarrel. The difference, the intensity with which the modes of nature influence persons is way higher, especially the passion and ignorance. In goodness, you have a tendency of accommodating another person's perspective. In passion and ignorance, that's why in Kali Yuga, people fight for everything or for nothing. You understand? That's how the modes of nature, they force you to see things very differently. And they force you to be convinced that you're right. So Kali Yuga people fight. In Satyuga, they don't fight so much because, oh, I see it this way, you see it that way? Very good, Prabhu. Let's be friends. Who cares in Kali Yuga? That's why fighting. Kali Yuga is very crazy. People fight for nothing. I don't like. What are you looking at? I don't like you. It is described that in Kali Yuga, I am disturbed just by your existence on this planet. I am disturbed by it. So either I eliminate you or do something to feel that, oh, you can't disturb. That's how it happens, right? Just by my existence, someone else is disturbed. What to do? In Satyuga, they can all manage. Okay, you're also there. Shudras are there. Okay. Chandalas are there. That's fine. Brahmanas are there. But now they can't even... Two Brahmanas cannot live with each other. I don't like you. So-called Brahmanas. That's Kali Yuga. It magnifies the differences very, very much. Glenn, we've got to stop.
Thank you, Kamala's Prabhu.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
When I was young, one of my best friends got cancer.
Can you speak up a little bit, please?
One of my friends got cancer.
Uh-huh.
And it was really horrendous. I went to visit him one time, and his face was completely eaten away. He was in excruciating pain, and all he could do was scream. And trying to respond to that, I was really confused, and I said, "Lord, I don't understand this. I just don't understand it at all. All I can do is accept it because I know you love, but I just don't have any understanding. I don't know how to get beyond that, because it's like there was this wall where I knew that God is behind this, but I couldn't understand it at all.
I don't know how to understand it now?
Well, I don't know if it
really?
I think it's something I need to work with. I don't know how to get beyond that. In certain cases, all I can intellectually say,
it's not right that God is behind us. It's not right. In the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that I'm not the one who's doing this and that. Okay? So for example, it's just that the laws by which material nature is working, and those laws have been created by me, and I'm very neutral. So for example, a king, if he puts his hand in fire, it will burn. But when a little tiny innocent baby puts its hand in fire, Krishna will not say, "Fire, do not burn." Then that would mean that Krishna makes a distinction between a baby and a king. But he's neutral. So fire burns anybody and everybody. Doesn't matter who it is. These are the neutral laws that are operating. Okay? And whatever one experiences happens because of one's previous activities. This is the law of karma. So someone suffers cancer early, someone later, someone this disease, someone that disease. But the perspective is to see it. Okay, because of some karmic something, they're suffering this disease. But it also means that they're in the human body for a shorter time. Because we don't have purview into what's the next destination, we can't tell. Maybe they're going to a better place. Maybe they're being born in the heavenly realm where there is so much enjoyment, no disease at all for millions of years. But they have to suffer on the human planet for some time. Or they may go down to another animal species. We don't know. Because we don't have the purview beyond what we can see. Even when what we see, we don't have purview of what all is happening. So we're very limited. In some circumstances like these, what we need to understand is, my dear Krishna, see how little tiny, insignificant and blind I am, that I can't understand exactly what is all happening in this world. But I know so much that any soul that comes to you is fully sheltered. So may the soul somehow or the other gain the association of your devotees. Because that's the only shelter. That is the right understanding. Anything we can't tell. It's not like God is saying, you should suffer, you should not suffer. This is the Christian idea. God is like this. He's the decider. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. That's not God. That's the Paramatma who supervises and who witnesses, but that's it. The laws of Krishna working. Krishna is happily playing the flute and enjoying with his cowherd friends and gopis, inviting us to come. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ahem.